All right. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. We're going to have two parts to this morning. This part is called Be Kind. I didn't write this scripture down, I don't think, but it talks about be kind to one another, tender-hearted too. You know, that is the way the Lord treats you. All right, the church is supposed to be a city on the hill, a lighthouse for all to know the way out of their storms. How are they going to know that? We're going to start looking at some scriptures here. John chapter 13 is the first one. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, right quick. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. The word kind there just means to act benevolently. Webster's dictionary says doing good or having goodwill towards someone. How can we have this to the world if we can't even extend it to the members of our family? Charity begins at home is not a biblical statement, but it is certainly a true statement. Should we look outward to meet the needs of others? Yes, certainly. But how good is that if we are discarding the needs of our own family? All right, let's turn to Isaiah 58. Now, with anything that I bring, you have to always consider, because we're few. Other people hear this. So this is not any accusation. I'm just following the Spirit. When He brings something up, I study it out and it comes. For whoever. Okay, Isaiah 58, 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. And always remember, whatever you hear brought forth, your prayer should be, okay, Holy Spirit, what part of that is for me? Okay? Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Now, he's talking about people that fast for show. Okay. It is such a fast that I've chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh and blood. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Still struggle with that word. Then shalt thou call. I keep hearing Brother Hagin say, reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of past dwelling. To me, as I look at this, I'm looking at the church as a whole. We have to return to this type of benevolence to people and to the world. The church has actually become inclusive. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And then it goes on to talk about 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. You know, they broke all these up in chapters and verses, but there's thoughts going on here, themes going on here to convey a message. Okay, Luke 6:35. It says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward will be great. And ye shall be like the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's something we see a lot, especially being on social media and people posting things of how the right acting like the left. They're trying to get back at. Well, as children of God, that's not what we do. We don't do that. That's not kind. Even though they're not right. But they're on the left. They don't know any better. They serve a different master than we do. Kind here means useful in manner or morals. You know what? Well, I'll keep going and then I'll bring it out. Okay. All right, Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Danny has an aunt and uncle that they're people. They don't have all the truth, and none of us have all of it. But one outstanding qualification that they have, they're just very kind people. If you're around them, they're very accommodating. Just very kind, soft-spoken, treat each other with kindness. And that shows. It's like a bright light shining in a dark place when you see someone that treats another person that way. Yep. All right. Kindness goes a long way in diffusing situations. You could say kindness, Lord just gave me this. It's really forgiving. You've decided I'm not going to treat them based on their behavior, based on what they did. But I'm going to treat them like they're forgiven of what they did or how they acted. In the movie, I don't know how you pronounce it, the French movie that we walked out of and didn't watch but a few minutes of, one of the last movies we ever went to, Les Miserables or something like that. He stole some stuff, and the priest comes out before the magistrate and says, no, I gave it to him. And he became a champion for God, from what I understand, from the theme of the movie, because of what that priest did. Yeah. We are the city on the hill. We are the light in the darkness. Whether people realize it or not, even the right, they're not all Christians. Conservatives doesn't mean Christian. Christian doesn't mean Christian a lot of times today either. But the thing is, are they going to know that much? They've been with Jesus, you know? There is a behavior that goes with it. Okay, now turn to Matthew 5. Thirteen says we're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. I remember Brother Keith Moore talking about a man that he knew. His wife was sick. I think she had cancer. And some of these little hot dog, little Rhema students told that man that they didn't have faith. And he told Brother Moore, he said, that didn't help me. You may know the truth about the situation. You may know why something didn't happen. But that doesn't give you the right, if God has shown you that, to hurt them. It's to help them. How much more would he have been receptive if they had been kind? Who can say where another man's faith is or where they stand before God? They don't stand before us. They stand before God. We're not the judge. God is. Now these Rhema students, you know how you are when you're first coming to the Word of Faith. You just think, oh, hot dog, you know, I'm just going to move mountains here. Till you get run over by a few mountains and you think, I got a lot to learn here. Yeah. Talk about an attitude. Jesus said here, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm come to destroy, but to fulfill. See, Jesus didn't come to destroy things, to destroy people. He came to restore people, restore things. That's what we're supposed to be doing, restoring the breach. Repairs of the breach. Kindness goes a long way to building a bridge. But I tell you what, those sharp words and getting rude with people, coming down on people, losing your temper with people, it just tears down and destroys. Yeah, it's the devil. Okay, in our world, it appears like men have forgotten how to be kind. When you come across kindness, it stands like a light, doesn't it? It's like they're a star shining in a dark place, a person of kindness. Okay, let's keep going. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start with verse 1 here. It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Talking about godly character here and all these things that are coming against you. We just talked about Job. God's things about Job, what happened, all the things. There's an attitude that God is looking for. Now I'm telling you, to me, your love walk is the ultimate. And when you get down to the nitty-gritty where God has worked you over in every aspect and now He's expecting your love walk, I think it's the end of the world for you. It's the end of the trail. When you've conquered that part of it, He can trust you to not hurt His people. Okay. Kindness. Galatians 5. All through the New Testament, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, now we all know love is kindness, is in love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Yeah. Just being good to people. It goes a long way. People that are sour and dour and just nasty people, they don't know how to deal with somebody that's kind to them. Example, being kind and patient to those that frustrate us, like the elderly. They deserve kindness and consideration in their old age. My heart just goes out to them because you think it's not easy getting older and dealing with the issues that come with it. The millennials in your life, oh my gosh, you want to pull your hair out sometimes. They are so clueless and need instruction. They need someone in kindness. Because most of the millennials, they're like a ticking time bomb. And if you say anything volatile to them, they go berserk. I have been the brunt end of it. I know. But if you're kind to them, yeah. All right. Since goodness incorporates kindness, it would be the kindness that God shows to us. What kind of kindness did God show to us? Ephesians 2. Great chapter. And you hath he quickened, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We don't deserve it either. Maybe you don't think that person acting so unbecomingly deserves your kindness. Well, we didn't deserve God's kindness either, but he gave it anyway. Yeah. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You could say being kind to someone is a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He says, remember when you used to be the way they were. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Peace, right here talks about peace, for he is our peace. These people that are acting the way they're acting, they have no peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. See, the gospel is good news. It's not to be presented as a, if you don't quit doing that, God's going to send you to hell. You ever heard them kind of preaching? Is there anything appealing to it at all? For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. Now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Would you like to share with me, with us, what you said to me yesterday about this? Don't stop the tape.
You mean just pause it?
No, I want you to just leave it going. I want you to come up here and say this. Yes. I'm being kind.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
No. Not.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, fill us in.
Yesterday in my prayer time, hard to put in words what I was experiencing. I just kind of, one of those times when you, on Saturday I kind of have a routine of things I do and pray and make professions and confessions and pray for the family and the nation, the church, and I just couldn't do any of that yesterday. I just kind of come to the end of all that, and I'm just sitting kind of quiet and praying in the Spirit before the Lord, and I've had some areas in my life that have struggled for a really, really long time. Just stumbling over the same old, you know, like being on a merry-go-round, just going around and around. And the Lord, Lord has spoken to me so much about some of this that is countless how much he's said to me that I seem to get what he's trying to say, and I go along a little bit, and then it's like I just fall off the wagon again. I'm not saying it's some great sin or anything like that. It's just an area in my life that the Lord has spoken very strongly and dynamically to me, but it's not manifested yet. And you go along many, many years in an area, and it's just like a ball and chain sometimes. It's what I felt. And so anyway, I'm sitting before the Lord kind of quiet, just wanting to listen to the Lord. And he's been teaching me about for several, I don't know how many years now, about living from the inside out and looking to Him in me all the time. Stop looking for something on the outside that I already have on the inside. He said that to me many times. Yes. And healing's on the inside of you. It's already there. But I've been trying to reason healing out of my spirit, and it just don't work that way. He told me that. You can't reason healing out of your spirit. So anyway, I'm sitting there, kind of quiet, and all of a sudden this just comes down on top of me. Well, you haven't had a foundation in your whole Christian life. You've lived your life without a foundation under you. And I'm sitting there going, you've been standing on ground that's shaky. And all of a sudden I start seeing what he's been saying, what we've been hearing on Sunday. My whole Christian life, even though the Lord has taught me some really, really cool things about faith and walking by the Spirit and learning to listen to His voice inside, I look around at all the blessings and prosperity and the things that we have, and I realize I ain't just barely been touching the hem of the garment, what He has for me, what He has for us. And all of a sudden, I see it. The chief cornerstone is Jesus, and the foundation is built by the apostles and prophets. And you ain't never been in a church that's had any of that, so you ain't never been on a foundation that's the right one, where that you could get it all together, have the foundation under you, and your life would be grounded and settled as a whole body of believers, and then you could move in the full power and will of God. Now, don't get me wrong, we've all been operating kind of following the Spirit of God, and He's been able to move in our life, but He's not been able to do what He wants to do in the church as a whole in the United States because the foundation hadn't been there. And then all of a sudden, it's like the only ones that can lay the foundation of the church in the church is the apostle and the prophet. And I've been my whole life in churches, and if there was any apostles or prophets in them churches, I didn't know it. So every church I guess I've been in till now, the foundation wasn't laid. So how could my life really? The Bible's full of scriptures like we're complete in Him who's the head of all principality and power. In Him we're full, complete, filled to the full, abundantly provided. And that's the way the Lord sees us. But He wants us to move. The church is His body in the earth, made up of individuals. And individuals have to have a foundation under them if they're going to be able to express the full power and will of God in the earth. And then it just came down on me, and I realized, wow. And I start seeing what's been coming on Sunday, because all of a sudden all these scriptures start coming in the Bible, that's in the Bible about Paul talking in the Corinthians about being the wise master builder built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. He was the chief cornerstone, but the church was going to be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I'm satisfied there are some churches out there in the United States that are in order, but I had never experienced any of them in my whole life until now. And so that's what the Lord dropped on me, is now that we're starting to get now, and we have a combo, we have a blessing, like I realize what kind of blessing we have. If the foundation of the church is built on Jesus, the chief cornerstone, it's laid by the apostles and prophets, we have a combo standing right up there apostle to the church, a prophet to the nation, and we're getting our foundation laid so we can finally get it.
That's why you're changing. You think, I've never had this happen. Most people, if I can get them to listen to what's being brought, not me, what God is having me bring, the word of the Lord, isn't that what he said in the beginning, in the first house church we had? Set people free from the strongholds of their minds. It's not possible without the right order, without the proper apostle and prophet in place to bring it forth, a church that, like we were talking about, that the gates of hell won't prevail against. They're solid, they're grounded, and they're ready to do the warfare and be successful at it, not to be a failure and just flounder all the time like what we've seen for forever.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. The other thing I realized is no wonder the churches are full of the world, and they fill up their time with worshiptainment and programs and skits and stuff that's not of the Spirit of God, because they don't have a foundation.
When there's no power, they got to fill it up with something. Yeah, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
The Lord's given me a word now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Say that again.
Huh? This is the Lord's word now coming to me. And I'm going to build my church.
Yes, sir.
Right here in Odessa, Texas. I'm laying your foundation right now. And what I'm going to build upon you, I'm laying it upon you, my apostles and prophet. You are laying this foundation. The church is not built on man. It's built upon Almighty God. It's built upon Jesus, the chief cornerstone. But it's laid by the foundations laid by the apostles and prophets. Where there are no apostles and prophets, then there won't be any foundation. Works of men that get burned up, wood, hay, and stubble, that'll burn up with the first test and trial of fire. But not yours. I'm laying your foundation strong and deep. It's grounded and founded on me. I am the chief cornerstone, and you are the foundation that's being laid, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said my church is, I would build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And a church that is built upon me with the proper foundation of the apostles and prophets will be unmovable. It'll be unshakable, and it'll go to the gates of hell and rattle the doors off. That's what I want my church to be. I want my church to be the force to be reckoned with in the earth, that no power, no entity, no stronghold can stand up against. Nothing that the enemy or man or the world system can bring can stand up against the church that is built on the proper foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And you are at this moment laying this foundation. And this foundation is going to spread out all over this city and over this area. And I'm doing the same all over this country. Little small fellowships, I'm raising up apostles and prophets to lay the foundation of my church. It's my church. It's my body. And that's what you are. And you are me in this earth. And when you get the foundation laid and it's set right, then I can begin to move in my church like I want to. I can begin to do what I want to do through my church. The Lord Jesus Christ is a body in the earth that will be expressed and power, great power and glory will flow through this church, this body of believers, because they got the foundation right. They got the order right. And then I can move. And then I will bring about my mighty signs and wonders and miracles that are to be commonplace in my church. But they haven't been because the no foundations of the church got filled up with the world and the world system and even the beast system. And it's nauseating to me. And I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. Those who will move with me will get on track with me. The foundation will get laid. And then I'm going to start doing my works like I said I would do. My word hadn't changed, and I'm going to do exactly what I said I would do in my word. And you three are going to be my hands and feet and mouthpieces in the earth. And the rest of the body that will get in line and get their eyes open and see what I'm doing. There will be many. You won't have to recruit anybody. They'll come when they see. They'll see. I had it. Yes, I did. I had one in this city. He's with me now. But I won't forget that. And I'm not going to let it die. You pray for them. You pray for that fellowship that is lost, Brother Palmer, that they'll stay, that I'll raise up the right people and to keep that going. And they eventually will even be part of you. Fellowship together. That's the way it ought to be. Fellowshipping together. So stay steady and keep giving what I give you. And I'm laying the foundation one brick at a time.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're still going.
I know. All right, let me get back to where I was. The Lord can interrupt any time. All right, we were looking at Ephesians 2 about the apostles and prophets being the foundation, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. But we're talking about the kindness and the goodness of the Lord. Right here, an example. What is an example of just being good to people, right? Kindness here, God's kindness, is excellence in character or demeanor. They're going to take note of you when you act like Jesus. They even said that. I think it's Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John were thrown in jail. And they were before the magistrates, and they said, "We perceive they've been with Jesus. What happened? Well, they healed the lame man at the gate." Yeah. All right. Colossians 3. It says here, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Moreover, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, mortify them, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Rather there is neither Greek, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what? When you choose to go this way, you'll come into a great amount of peace. There'll be nothing that can shake you. Let it rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. See, this is their characteristics. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We are in Him, right? We are in Him. Okay, Titus 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Not being a spectacle. So many of the conservatives, I understand God puts it in some's heart to be radical, to come to the forefront, to take a stand, and there's a time for that. But for the most part, as the body of Christ, it says to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, seeking, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We don't need to carry with us this arrogancy that we are Christians, children of God, and we're better than you. No, we should seek to want to share that with those people, because that's what they need. That's what they're actually seeking, and they just don't know it. You know, it's a terrible thing, but it's a good thing. Our president, he's the type that when his Hollywood friends were put in a situation where they were going to have to succumb to the beast and act like the beast, or they needed someone to help them suicide themselves or fake something to get them off the scene, he did it. Donald Trump. And I won't name the people. We all know kind of who they are. I heard someone talking about his name. Last name is Joyce. Is it? Uh-huh. What's his first name?
Billy Joyce.
Billy Joyce. This man sounds exactly like Elvis. He even looks like an old Elvis. Mm-hmm. He says he is. Whether he is or not, I don't know. But they didn't want to live that life, and the only way out of it is to die. Okay, and he's a pastor, by the way, this Billy Joyce. And he said, I have a life of peace now. I would no go back for nothing. Just being good to people, that's what God wants us to do. We're examples. People should want what we have by our example, how we treat them, how we treat everyone around us. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Think about that. We could have been one of those that were stuck in that. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For all these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from our old sins. I was thinking about, as kids, we used to just run the streets. Thank God his grace kept us from being snatched up and harvested. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You getting a clue here? There's things that preserve you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Kindness there means fraternal affection. Here it is, folks. This is the key. This is a test to pass all tests, what I said prior. God is looking at us to see how we treat people. When we learn to treat people right and not go off on them like a ticking time bomb, he can trust us with everything else. This is the biggie. Kindness is love, and love never fails. It will work when you're doing warfare. It is the highest form of spiritual warfare. All right, John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that one shall lay down his life for his friends. It may not mean that you give up your life for another, but I believe it does mean to lay down your life. In other words, lay down your feelings. Lay down unkindness, unloving things that you could say or do, and cover it with God's love, keeping your mouth shut when you don't want to, maintaining your anger on some occasions. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 out of the Amplified. All right. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. The kind of the old adage that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so I can remove mountains but have not God's love in me, I'm nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long, it's patient and kind. Love never is envious, never boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, it is not rude or unmannerly, it does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I can see Billy Brim when she talked about her husband. She'd made chili and she'd made cornbread, and he said, I don't want cornbread. I want crackers. Well, they didn't have any crackers. And she had this cabinet where she'd walk to, and it had 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, inside the cabinet. She'd go there and open it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not touchy. Love is not fretful. When she'd get to stewing on something, she'd go over there and start reading those scriptures. And she said, I did that two or three times, and I grabbed my purse, walked out of the house, went to the grocery store, and found crackers and coffee and something else on sale. Come home and gave Miss crackers. She said, I did pretty good on most everything, but that touchy part. Mm-hmm. What? That touchy part. I can just see her. Because every time she tells the story, she gets up and walks to her cabinet. And she's, love is patient, love is kind. You know, reading her little list down there about somebody's doing something to her she don't like. And it's starting, those feelings are coming up to react. All right. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Even if they break down your fence, even if they puncture the your brand new car's tire. Most people don't do things intentionally. They're accidents. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness. It rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. But the crux here, come down to verse 11. We're talking about the maturity here and how God can trust us. When I was a child, I talked like a child. What do children do? They throw themselves on the floor, pitch fits, scream and yell, bite one another, hit each other with their toys. Mine! I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. See, God is expecting, now that you're a man, you act like one. You can no longer act like a child and get away with it. All right. So keep going here. Don't threaten people. This is what the Lord said to me. Don't threaten people. We live in a world where especially conservatives and Christians are being threatened. A lot of it's just satanic propaganda. But nonetheless, it's out there and it's pushing back really hard on a lot of believers. A lot of believers have succumbed to the threatenings. Do not threaten. There is so much of this going on in the world today, especially conservatives and Christians. Our freedoms are being threatened. Satan's tactics should have no place in our lives in any form against people. Like when the disciples were arrested, they threatened them and said, "Don't you speak anymore in the name of Jesus." That's what they're saying today. They're arresting preachers for praying in front of Planned Parenthood, for holding services in their church. They're arresting them while criminals are being let out of prison to run the streets to kill, steal, and to destroy. Don't threaten. Threaten means to menace or to forbid. Yeah. And a show of, or be a menace. Menace is a show of intention to inflict harm or danger. That's where we're living in. That's the day we're living in. All right, a couple more scriptures. We're going to be done. 1 Peter 2:13. Don't want to read all of that. I'm not going to read that. A kind person is not going to threaten people or take vengeance against them. You could say vengeance and kindness are opposites. Because kindness may feel like taking vengeance, but they decide not to. Kind people, they may feel like they want to, but they decide not to. Okay? All right. We have a God that is the avenger. This is Romans chapter 12. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of one mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." This is what it means to avenge: to vindicate, retaliate, or punish. That's for God to do, not us. All right, a couple more and we're done here. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Hebrews 10:30 be my last scripture here. For you know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Kindness there means the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Vengeance means punishment or retribution exacted for an injury or a wrong. All right, be kind.